buckle up. It's showtime.
Our hatred is nothing more than an internal defense mechanism that nature has blessed us with. Hatred is not something to shy away from, to dread, or to avoid. Hatred is our friend. Embrace it. You teach young people that hate is good.
Hate's not good. It's just necessary.
You might hear a lot of screaming tonight, some shouting, maybe even some cursing. And that'll be coming directly from Mary, Mary, why you bugging? Because the Giants are on NFL Monday Night Football tonight. Speaking of which, we've got NFL news. We've got plenty of topics to discuss. Now, when this game begins, should be, about 8:30, so in about 30 minutes, we'll then hear Mary say things like, mother, father, sister, brother, screaming, hollering, ooh, good, great, and other expletives. That's her coughing in the background. She's all excited to see this NFC East rivalry game happen tonight against RG3 and the Washington Redskins versus her favorite, let's just say boyfriend, Eli Manning of the New York Giants, and for them to play today. And if RG3 and the Redskins should happen to win this game against Eli, it hurts their chances to win the division, and it puts RG3 and, of course, the Dallas Cowboys in contention to take over that seat from the New York Giants.
Get a grip.
And Mary would be absolutely livid if that happens tonight.
Get a grip. It ain't going to happen.
Okay, well, we obviously know that who Mary's rooting for.
I don't care who wins tonight. The championship is not going to Dallas or
you're talking about a division.
The NFC divisional championship is not going to anybody but the Giants.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is that, you know, we're still going to see when that happens. The game will be on tonight, of course, as it starts in 30 minutes from now. So, we're actually going to have a condensed version of Reese on the Radio tonight for the expressed reasons I just gave you. With that being said, the NFL mourned a loss this weekend on Saturday. Many of you may already know the story. It's all over the news. The sad part about it is that one knucklehead commentator had to take all of the attention away from the tragedy. And rightly so, I say. And that, of course, is Mr. Bob Costas of NBC Sports. Now, if you didn't hear it, I'm sure that you did. I'd like to get to the crux of what Bob Costas had to say last night during the halftime of Sunday Night Football. And this is between the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. But pay attention. Here's what Bob Costas said during the halftime show.
You want some actual perspective on this? Well, a bit of it comes from the Kansas City-based writer Jason Whitlock, with whom I do not always agree, but who today said it so well that we may as well just quote or paraphrase from the end of his article. Our current gun culture, Whitlock wrote, ensures that more and more domestic disputes will end in the ultimate tragedy, and that more convenience store confrontations over loud music coming from a car will leave more teenage boys bloodied and dead. Handguns do not enhance our safety. They exacerbate our flaws, tempt us to escalate arguments, and bait us into embracing confrontation rather than avoiding it. In the coming days, Javon Belcher's actions and their possible connection to football will be analyzed. Who knows? But here, wrote Jason Whitlock, is what I believe. If Javon Belcher didn't possess a gun, he and Cassandra Perkins would both be alive today.
Now, that's the part that got everyone up in arms. It's not so much about quoting Jason Whitlock's article, which we'll get into in part, because it's very important that we get into that. Jason Whitlock's article, if you haven't heard about it, which in essence it's saying that Jevon Belcher would have never killed Cassandra Perkins if he didn't have a gun. Now, many people have made this argument about the O.J. Simpson case. And people went so far and said, well, what about O.J.? O.J. killed Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman with a knife. Well, first of all, that's the dumbest argument ever. Let me tell you why. There is no evidence that suggests that O.J. Simpson killed them. Only in premise does that make sense. But let's go a little further than that. I want to go back to another tragedy we had this year with an NFL player shooting himself in the chest. You remember who it was. Formerly of the San Diego Chargers and the New England Patriots, Mr. Junior Seau. Now, I'm not talking about him shooting himself. I'm talking about an earlier event. Anyone here remember what that was? Junior Seau, after a domestic dispute with his girlfriend, I believe it was, tried to drive his car off a cliff in the San Diego area of California.
And what happened? Did God come down and hit the brakes?
I don't know what happened, but obviously, but the police found him, you know, and they pulled him out and he went to the hospital and he recovered later on. But of course, later on, he killed himself. But Junior Seau, now I've never seen his girlfriend, I've never seen any pictures of his girlfriend, but I'm sure you've seen Junior Seau. So big mofo. This is no wide receiver. This is a linebacker. Junior Seau was a big guy. I'm pretty sure he would have snapped his girlfriend like a twig. Most of those guys date a lot of thin girls. A lot of skinny waif looking broads. Junior Seau goes on the battlefield every weekend for 6 months a year. And he pummels guys his size, if not bigger than him. Goes in and tackles them at full speed. Good 20, 25 miles per hour. If his broad would have ticked him off, he'd have snapped her like a twig. Broke her neck like a toothpick.
All he had to do was sit on her face.
That's
it.
That's all he had to do. No guns involved. So we've seen this happen without the use of a gun. This was nothing more than somebody taking opportunity. That's what Bob Costas did. He saw opportunity to insult the national media and Americans alike by saying, oh, we live in a gun culture. People have a gun problem. People need guns. We need to get rid of guns. Jason Whitlock article even goes into this whole thing, what they're calling Trayvon Part 2. You know, with the man who shot the little 17-year-old boy, V, for playing his music too loud.
Allegedly.
But Jason Whitlock says some other things that I find damning. He says that the gun people who own guns, they don't... Well, I got to get into his audio. It's only right. It's the only way that I can do it. I have to get into his audio. This is Jason Whitlock on Roland Martin, the roly-poly Martin, on his podcast. That moonshine boot-licking for the Democrat Roland Martin. Yes, jigaboo, niggaboo Roland Martin. House nigga for the Democrat Party. This is him talking to Jason Whitlock, another house nigga for liberals, promoting their agenda. He's talking to Roland Martin about gun control and the NRA. Of course, completely missing history and facts in his little diatribe on Roly Poly Martin's show.
Why don't you decide to focus on gun control as well when you were making the argument about the NFL?
Well, because, you know, sports get so much attention and so many people tune out the real world that I try to take advantage of the opportunity to talk about the real world when sports lends itself to that and try to open people's eyes. I did not go as far as I would like to go, because my thoughts on the NRA and America's gun culture, I believe the NRA is the new KKK.
Wow.
You heard what he said? And little nigga bitch in the background says, wow. She liked that. The NRA is the new KKK. Yes, when you start screaming racism, yeah, the little nigga bitch likes that.
And that...
She loves that comment. They all do. They all love when you cite that.
Ralph, that, Reese, that was pretty...
And America's gun culture. I believe the NRA is the new KKK.
Wow.
Wow. It's so profound.
That was a little harsh.
Shut up, right nigga there. Bitch. Shut up.
And America's gun culture. I believe the NRA is the new KKK.
Wow.
I just love hearing it.
Wow.
And that the arming of so many black youth and loading up our communities with drugs.
Arming little black kids with guns. That's what the NRA is doing.
Wow.
And that the arming of so many black youth and loading up our communities with drugs and then just having an open shooting gallery is the work of people that, you know, obviously don't have our best interest. And I think it's obvious if you travel abroad and travel to countries where they actually have some legitimate gun laws, we don't have to have what we have here in America, where people think a gun somehow enhances their liberty and where people think that a gun somehow makes them safer. It just doesn't. A gun turns some kids listening to music into a murder thing. And, you know, if you don't have a gun, you drive home. You know, kids are listening to some loud music. You don't like it. That annoys me. You go home and complain to your wife. When you have a gun, you open fire, potentially, and take the life of a child.
What?
It's important.
Listen, homeboy. If you want to go home and get into an argument with your wife, and you know you're going to go home and get into an argument with her, and you're so pissed off at her that you could kill her, you don't need a gun. I've been in domestic violence situations. I am a victim of domestic violence on several occasions, and I have come very close to death, and there were no weapons. The only weapons were two hands, and those two hands were wrapped around my throat. So he did not need no gun if he wanted to kill me. He could have killed me right then and there. Just like anybody could kill anybody with anything. I could hit you over the head in the right spot with a speaker to a computer. With the microphone that you're using.
What?
With the microphone that you're using. If I hit you in the right spot over the head, you will die.
I don't
need no damn gun. No, I'm talking about my microphone he was using
to
spew all that bullshit. And who, what, the NRA is going to the hood and arming little boys and little girls with guns? That's what the NRA is doing?
Yeah, that's what he says. That's what he says.
How
the NRA.
How come you ain't complaining about Planned Parenthood killing little black babies?
It doesn't matter to him. That's a good thing. That's an unwanted child. He doesn't want the existing child to actually have to, you know, get shot by a gun. You see, here's the scary part.
The NRA is not providing any hood with guns.
He knows that. He's not a moron.
And whether guns were legal or not, people still have them.
And if he doesn't know it, listen, here's the thing. Jason Whitlock and Roly Poly Martin, here's what it is that they know. Okay? For a fact, here's what it is that they know. All right? First of all, the NRA does not go to the hood and make sure that these kids have guns. Because the NRA wants legal participation in gun ownership. That means you go through the proper channels and you own a gun to protect yourself. This is what Jason Whitlock refuses to know. He also knows that most of these cities, like Chicago, LA, New York, Orlando, Richmond, Virginia, he knows that these jurisdictions, if you will, are run by Democrats. primarily where most of this violence goes on, there's a Democratic leadership in these cities. And nothing's being done to protect the minorities in those communities. And the reason why is because their voter turnout is always the same. So there's nothing to be done to combat violence in those communities. But see, here's what Jason Whitlock and Roly Poly Martin don't get. And they've never studied it, nor would they ever bother to, because then they would have to shut the F up. Jason, did you know that it was the NRA that lobbied Washington, lobbied legislators for blacks to be able to own guns so that they can fight off the KKK? Did you know that? Do you know anything about that? If you studied your history at all, you'd know that. The NRA, who I believe, to be honest with you, and I'm going to criticize them badly, is stupid enough not to make that clear to a knucklehead like Jason Whitlock. The history of our organization was to make sure that you niggas didn't get killed by crackers.
And then if crackers came after you, you armed yourself and could protect yourself from them crackers.
That's the bottom line.
Dumbass.
Jason Whitlock knows nothing about that. But yet, he forgets. Do you think that anybody who's in the black community owning a gun, anybody in the black community is saying, hey, you see where I got this Glock? Yeah, my niggas up in the NRA hooked me up. You know what I'm saying? Really. They got them illegally. And another thing that...
Yeah, but see, this joker thinks that, yeah, you can, even if you say, okay, they got them illegally, he still would argue you and say that the NRA sold them to somebody
right,
that they could then... basically say, here you go.
But they didn't understand that that would be implicating the NRA as distributing guns.
Well, that he already implicated
no
that.
No kidding, but
he
they
said
don't.
The NRA was taking drugs and the government... I mean, the NRA was taking guns and the government was putting drugs in the community. Well, why is your black president putting drugs and guns in
your community? Yeah, I mean, he's been there 4 years. How come the drugs ain't gone yet?
For real? I've got your back.
Yeah, why aren't the drugs gone yet? I'm sure Obama understands that.
He's from Chicago.
He's from Chicago. Drugs are still there. The gangs are still running rampant. It's 4 years since he's been president, and the gangs have grown and the violence has grown.
And why are you using this opportunity to tout your own ideology?
Speak on it, God.
You know, why are you using this opportunity to tout your own ideology when you should be in Chicago touting something like this?
Let's try something even better. Jason, one small little idea I want to pump into your puny little brain. Into your small, idiotic brain. Why is it that when Javon Belcher kills a 22-year-old girl, you're outraged at the gun culture? Why is it when a white man shoots a black kid in an SUV at a gas station, you're outraged? Where the F were you when those little girls were shot on their doorsteps in Chicago? Where were you? What did you do about that? And you want to talk about the gun culture in the hood? Wasn't it you that blamed hip-hop? But now it's the NRA and hip-hop's problem? I mean, so would it be safe to say that by your assessment, the NRA and hip-hop are in cahoots?
And why are you not somewhere battling down Jay-Z?
Yeah.
Jay-Z supports Barack Obama, too. So was you supporting Barack Obama, too? Are
of
you a Barack Obama
was.
Supporter? You don't like any of these people, but they all support Barack Obama,
of
and you support Barack Obama. You seem to have a whole
does.
Hell of a lot in common with these people. But I bet you Jay-Z wouldn't give up his pistol. He shoots you first.
It's a freaking joke. Let's get Edward in here. Edward, I'm sure you read this stupid article. If not, heard the controversy with Jason Whitlock.
No, actually, on your show tonight, it's the first time I've heard of it.
Really?
Yeah, I've been pretty busy all day, so I haven't actually checked the news. But where is this idiot coming from?
He went left, Edward. He went left. And when I say that, I meant that figuratively and literally. He went left. He turned around and just flat out said that he equates the NRA with the KKK for getting guns into the hands of young blacks in the community. His words. I mean, you can hear it for yourself. I'll play it one more time.
Wow.
And that the arming of so many black youth and loading up our community with drugs and then just having an open shooting gallery is the work of people that, you know, obviously don't have our best interest.
Arming the kids in our community with guns. Arming them. That's, in essence, what
and
you're saying.
And blowing up your communities with drugs. And
who's
just waiting. And it's an open range.
He must be talking about Eric Holder and Fast and Furious.
Booyah!
Those are only people who are letting guns loose in the community.
Booyah!
NRA has nothing to do with putting guns in the hands of, you know, criminals or, you know, black youth in this country or anywhere.
Yeah. They're so upset about the gun culture. That's another thing. That's brilliantly said, Edward. To be so upset about the gun culture, right? There's no argument about our own government putting guns in the hands of gun runners and giving them to Mexican cartels to kill hundreds of Mexicans. There was no outcry by the Jason Whitlocks or the Roland Martins. They ignored it. And I don't, I'm baffled by that, especially Roly-Poly. Roly-Poly Martin, he's on CNN all the time. Never ever once addressed the Fast and Furious scandal.
Let's say he's right, just to give him the benefit of the doubt, that the NRA is running around black communities and giving out guns. Even if they're doing that, these kids are still going out and shooting people. You know, people aren't being brought up with the sense not to go out and shoot your fellow, you know, people in your community.
Or
point
out not to take the gun.
Exactly.
Oh, because Jason Whitlock thinks that these people are too stupid.
Exactly.
Jason Whitlock thinks these people are too stupid. He thinks blacks aren't very bright. He knows that blacks only are attracted to shiny objects, shiny cars, shiny women, shiny rhetoric. He knows that. That's in essence what he's saying. He's just saying that, look, we're just too dumb. We can't have these things around that they can grab willy-nilly because they're not smart enough to make the right decision.
If that's the case, then if that is the case, if this is what most of these ignorant-ass people think, then why don't you start your own, go into a state, into a huge state, and take all the black people with you.
What?
And file to become independent.
Never gonna happen.
I mean, if that's what they think, and then you, black people, can control one another. Because obviously what he's saying is, listen, black people in low income communities have no structure. They can't function. You know, they'll jump off a bridge if you say jump. They'll sell drugs. They'll kill their mother. They'll smoke crack. They'll do what they're so stupid. They have no, you know, without any structure, you have nothing. There's no success. So then gather everybody up and take them wherever you want to take them, and you control them. Then that way they can call your ass prejudice, or they can blame everything else on you.
I get your point. But let me explain to you what...
Well, not that they can blame, but then you have nothing else to blame everyone else's misfortune on.
Let me explain to you what's really going on here. What we are living in right now is the I'm not responsible culture. Someone else is responsible for my actions. There's always
something...
But what
you're saying is that Jason Whitlock believes that black people are so stupid...
No, I know he thinks this.
That they can't function without...
Because they are not responsible people and they can't be responsible.
Yeah, so then, therefore, if they're not responsible people and they cannot function in a responsible environment, then create an environment to where you can control them because they're, you know, you're...
But he would make...
You're fighting for black people, so then do something... Start something that can.
You're already going down the wrong path here. I'll tell you why. I understand where you're coming from. You're not. In no way are you being inarticulate here. I get you because you're. I see the frustration is because you're trying to make a point, but it's so frustrating to you that it makes it hard to articulate. But trust me, I get exactly what it is you're saying. But here's the point. That is not the goal of guys like Rolly Poly Martin and Jason Whitlock and Bob Costas. That's
well,
not.
Well, what
their,
the hell is the goal?
I'll tell you what their goal is.
Socialist
their goal,
government?
Exactly. Their goal is to constantly beat over the heads of the American public to say, if I keep saying it, it becomes true.
But
and
you
then
know what?
People will
I don't
say,
think that they really would like the outcome of that.
Listen,
you tout it and you tout it. This is your ideology. And that's great if we all lived in a utopia world. If we all live
oh,
in your
you
own
me?
Little world.
That's what they
that
want.
We don't live. This is not. What is that movie? That like happiness movie where everybody in the freaking in the movie was happy all the time. It went from like dark to color. What was that movie?
Oh.
Happy People.
No, it was called Pleasantville with Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon.
Pleasantville. You know, go live somewhere in Pleasantville, dude, because this is not it.
You make a valid point. Edward, stick around for a second. I want to read something to you that comes from CNN. Not CNN. I apologize. Doesn't come. Yes, it does. I apologize. It does come from CNN. CNN.com wrote a story today. Apparently, and speaking of Chicago, because we brought up Chicago today, a very controversial thing is happening in Chicago that's costing taxpayers some $55 million to curb the violence in that city. Folks, I promise you, when you hear what it is, you're going to be shocked. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Oh,
Reese on the Radio, that was Phoenix, one of my favorite songs, Girlfriend. Right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is December the 3rd, 2012, a month from today, folks, our one-year anniversary, coming right here to Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, we've got Tiki Barber of the New York Giants, who's going to be on the show on Thursday night. Also on Wednesday, we're going to have formerly of the WWF, and I'm only saying that because they were part of the WWF before it became the WWE, we have Diamond Dallas Page, who's going to be on the show, and also Jake the Snake Roberts will also be on the show. Make sure you tune in and
Jakey Bakey.
Join us for both of those shows on Wednesday and Thursday. Tiki Barber on Thursday and Jake the Snake and Diamond Dallas on Wednesday, right here on Reese on the Radio. Okay, so I saw this story today because we've been talking about this whole Bob Costas and the halftime show thing, talking about gun violence that's happening in the United States, okay? So let me read this story, and I promise you, folks, you will be shocked. CNN Chicago says, on a chilly afternoon this fall, teenagers across Chicago's South Side were busy at work, earning $8.75 an hour to hand out flyers with the message of nonviolence. Quote, our message that we're giving out today is about being healthy, said 18-year-old Lucia Eliosa. One of the key pointers is about taking time to reflect and seek inner peace. Eloisa's part-time job was paid for by an ambitious state-funded program to keep at-risk teenagers out of trouble. It pumped nearly $55 million into Chicago's toughest neighborhoods, and three of its suburbs to stem unrelenting gang violence. A four-month CNN investigation found that not only did the Neighborhood Recovery Initiative, known as NRI, pay teens to hand out flyers promoting inner peace, it said it paid these at-risk teens to take field trips to museums, march in a parade with the governor, and even attend yoga classes to learn how to handle stress. Earlier this year, state legislators passed a resolution demanding the state conduct an audit of the program. That audit is underway. Supporters say the program kept kids off the street of Chicago's most dangerous neighborhoods and helped expose their inner-city youth to a broader culture, as well as cultivate future leaders. But critics wonder if it's just a waste of taxpayers' money. That's right, they use taxpayers' money. Considering that the city's murder rate has risen since the program began 2 years ago. Or worse, was it an effort to buy votes ahead of a tight race for governor? Pat Quinn became Illinois' governor in 2009 in the wake of a corruption scandal that took down his predecessor, Rod Blagojevich. As you may remember, after serving the rest of Blagojevich's term, the former lieutenant governor narrowly won Democratic primary to vie for a full term in 2010. That fall, Quinn faced a tough challenge against his Republican opponent to retain the governor's seat. In October 2010, less than a month before the gubernatorial election, Quinn announced his Neighborhood Recovery Initiative, RNI, which he said would take on the root causes of violence in Chicago across Illinois by creating 3,000 part-time and permanent jobs for young people so that they have a positive way to go. And we mean business. After the first news conference, we really understand how important this is. Folks, make this clear. Illinois spent $5 million of taxpayer dollars for young kids to hand out flyers telling them to search for inner peace.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that again?
The governor spent $55 million of taxpayer dollars
$55 million to hand out flyers?
For kids to hand out flyers telling kids in the inner city to search for inner peace and to go to yoga classes.
No.
That was to curb the gun violence in the inner city of Chicago. Not deal with the problem, folks. They didn't deal with the problem spending $55 million.
They didn't do anything else but hand out flyers.
They handed out flyers.
They spent the entire $55 million on handing out flyers. And they gave part-time inner-city kids.
$8.25 an hour.
$8.25 an hour
to hand out
flyers.
And they said this would
curb
violence.
Those kids probably handed out 25 flyers, threw the rest
in the garbage. You know they did.
And met up at the local McDonald's.
This is how they plan on
got
curbing.
High and then ate at the local McDonald's.
This is how they plan on
they
combating
crime. They may have shot somebody up in the interim.
The kids are handing out flyers. They went to museums and they attended yoga classes to learn to deal with stress.
So the kids that they hired attended yoga classes at no charge to them.
And went to yoga. Yeah.
And went to museums. Museums of what?
Culture. You know, art museums, natural history.
So they took a bunch of
inner city kids.
How many inner city kids was it?
They called them at-risk kids. They aren't saying what the number was.
Because I want to know how much of that money went to the yoga classes. How much was it in payroll? How much was it for the museum trips? And you know, like,
oh, I'm sure they spent. That was all taxpayer funded. I'm sure it was.
But $55 million, and what the hell? What was accomplished? Has the crime rate went up. I was going to say, has the crime rate gone down?
In 2 years? What have we been talking about for the past year? About the crime rate in Chicago?
In 2010?
Yeah, it started in 2010. The whole idea was to curb violence.
And how long did it go on for?
It went on for the whole 2 years. And
is
the crime rate went up.
On?
I don't know if it's still going up, but I'm sure they spent all the money.
Are they going to ask for more funding?
They're auditing the money right now. They're auditing how the money was spent. So now it's under investigation. And they're saying it was nothing more than a ploy for him to get reelected. But $55 million to curb gun violence, and that and the anecdote for this gun violence was to hand out flyers telling people about finding inner peace.
Yoga?
No, to find inner peace.
And go to yoga.
Please stop killing each other.
Take this flyer.
No, take this flyer. Hi, I understand you got a drug war going on. I think you should read this. I understand that Rayvon and Trey Trey, I know that they, you know, they shot your brother last week, but I think you should read this flyer.
And I know Pookie is having your baby. Or so she said it's your baby, because I heard it might be, it might be Big Joe's down a block.
But read this flyer so you can find inner peace in the flyer. Please find inner peace. This is how they spent $55 million. This is how they're curbing violence. And you know what? Guys like Jason Whitlock and Roly Poly Martin, they believe that this is a good idea.
And
they believe this is a great idea.
How did this pass?
Hold on.
How did they get this passed? Like, was there a vote?
There was no vote.
So they just said, we're going to take $55 million of the inner city Chicago's taxpayer money, and we're going to put it towards this program. Like, who did they have to get that?
There's no approval here. This is a government spending money.
And that's why they're auditing it, right?
Somebody had to approve that government spending.
No. JC, what did you say?
And that's why they're auditing the program now.
A process to get Medicaid or food stamps? If you're out of work, you've paid into the taxes, and you can't even go, and it takes forever for them to give you any assistance. And you're going to tell me that they just said, oh, well, $54 million, this is what we're going to do. Bloop, 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 bloop. Here you go.
Yeah, they call it a job program.
They're all in the same loop.
Yeah, of course they are.
And crime has gone up.
You've got to be freaking kidding me.
You know what they're going to say? Why crime went up? Because you didn't give the program enough money.
Yes.
So next year, we need more money.
We should have used $100 million.
Well, that's a liberal sense, but I mean, the truth be told, crime went up because they're out there shooting each other for those jobs.
I'd
bust a cap in somebody's ass for an $8.75 an hour job if there ain't no jobs around.
I'd shoot
everybody in line.
Look, to put this on another perspective, just to give you a clear sign of what these liberals are like. Anybody remember Kevin Powell?
No.
I'm sure he is the black man from the first season
Real World One.
Of Real World. That's correct. MTV's
oh,
the
yes,
Real
yes,
World.
Yes.
Mary, here's a picture of him now so you can see what he looks like today. There's a current picture of him. I've been on a panel with him before. Anyway, Kevin.
Let me see the picture.
That's him right there. All right, Kevin Powell. They say editor's notes. He writes for CNN now. Kevin Powell is an activist, public speaker, and author, and editor of 11 books, including Barack Obama, Ronald Reagan, and The Ghost of Dr. King, blogs and essays, and you can email him, whatever. This is the article he wrote today. My cousin Aaron abruptly typed me the news while we were texting back and forth about other matters. A Kansas City Chief football player killed his girlfriend and then went to the team's practice facility and committed suicide in front of the head coach, general manager, and a defensive coordinator. In fact, I'm paraphrasing here.
Let's not forget that he killed her in front of her mother.
That's right. Left behind was the couple's three-month-old daughter, who was in another room while her mother was shot multiple times. Like so many Americans, we were stunned. We should learn later that the player Javon Belcher, 25-year-old starting linebacker for the Chiefs, a man and an athlete spoken of in highest regard by everyone from his high school teammates and coaches to his fellow professional football players. Folks, I want you to pay attention to that. Okay? A man and athlete spoken in the highest regard by everyone from his high school teammates to coaches to his fellow professional football players. They, too, were stunned. Indeed, what would lead a man who, by all accounts, loved family, friends, and football, had overcome great odds to make the National Football League as an undrafted pick out of the University of Maine to take such shocking actions. A man raised by a single mother, he had achieved so much in such a short period of time that he had widely been considered a great role model for what could be done through hard work, grit, and determination. Kevin Pollock goes on to say, since the killing and suicide are so fresh, so recent, we do not really know what might have driven Belcher to such an extreme and horrific action. But the knee-jerk reactions have been rampant on the social networks. Coward is a term being used to describe Belcher. But that is too easy, far too simplistic. The name-calling never solves a problem. Belcher was a man living in a supersized macho world of football, a world in which many of us American males reside, be it football or not. Too many of us have been taught manhood in a way that is not healthy. Be tough, men don't cry, man up. These are things I've heard my entire life, and now I cringe when I hear this relayed to boys or younger men by teachers, coaches, fathers, mentors, and leaders. Or we use derogatory and sexist, homophobic words to describe men or boys who do not meet the normal of what male is supposed to be. Some of these male authority figures mean well or are simply repeating what they were socialized to be or to do and not realize that they are unwittingly teaching that manhood has little room to express hurt, disappointment, and sorrow. Yes, they had been arguing, Belcher and his girlfriend, but in my work as an activist, including around gender violence prevention, I've seen the tragic pattern across our nation of men who in the heat of rage have killed their girlfriends, wives, or lovers, as if they had no other vocabulary or emotion to deal with the disagreement or the breakup. We cannot forget Cassandra Perkins in this story, because when men behave in this manner, it also says bluntly that the life of a woman is of no value.
Really?
Just the fact that much of this media has focused on Belcher and barely mentions Perkins by name speaks to this truth. Now, I want to say one thing about this, about Belcher. If there's anybody out there in the world who is calling Belcher some sort of hero or Belcher as a good guy behind this tragedy, I've yet to see it. If they have. The reason why I bring this point up is because of this audio that I obtained by the Schnitt Show in Florida, where a man called in who's originally from Long Island, New York, who knew Javon Belcher and his family.
Next on Schnitt in Tampa. Hi, Joe.
Hi,
How you doing, Schnitt?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I remember you from New York. I got a story on Belcher. You know, they're sitting saying that he's got problems because of football. I know this kid when he was 12 years old. He had a little gang who used to beat up all the little white boys in town, steal their money, steal their bikes. Gangs, if you had a fight with him, he had 5-6 people waiting for you when you came out of the door at school. My family was...
Hold on. You're leveling some pretty serious charges here.
That's right, and I got proof of it. We were on TV and we were on the radio on things that this guy did. He was a friggin' maniac when he was 12 years old.
Now, what part of Long Island was this?
West Babylon. He lived in Wyandanch.
And you're... How old are you?
I'm 63 years old. He used to beat the hell out of my son.
You're saying that Jovan Belcher used to beat the hell out of your son at
That's
school
right.
in West Babylon, New York?
Him and his friends. And he always did it together. They used to crash... If the kids had a party, he would crash it and beat the hell out of these kids. He was a no-good thing from when he was 12 years old.
Well, he was 25, so you're saying just 13 years...
My son is 25. They were both the same age.
All right.
He stole my son's bike. He beat the hell out of him. We went to the police, we went to the Department of Education, and the only ones who took the story was that channel station on Sunrise Highway. I don't even remember what it was. But they took the story, and then it started rolling. 12 News came to my home, and they filmed us on what was going on, and we couldn't do nothing about this kid. Because around adults, he always acted like he was such a sweet little guy. Okay, my wife lost one of her good friends because of an argument. She kept saying Belcher was such a nice kid, he's such a good boy. And my wife was trying to explain to her what was going on, and she just wouldn't believe it. This kid was bad news.
Wow, this is taking a turn. What school did your son go to?
West Babylon High.
Okay. So you're saying that as the New York media cover, well, the whole national media is covering the story, but you know the New York media obviously.
I have no idea what this
well, hang on a sec. So Joe, as the New York media has and the Kansas City media, they obviously have an especially large interest in this story because Jovan Belcher from the New York metropolitan area. Are you saying that the New York media, to the best of your knowledge, has no idea of your allegations?
That's right. This kid. You know what he did? We had to move out of New York because he used to grab my son in the hallway, and my son wouldn't take his crap, so he'd punch him out. But when he came out of school, there'd be 10 kids waiting for him to get his butt kicked. If we sent him to the store for a loaf of bread, Belcher would be there to steal his bike and beat the hell out of him. I mean, we did everything. We went to the police. We went to the radio stations. We went to TV. We went to the school. We had to take our son out of school and put him in parochial school. We bought a house in Florida for my retirement. And when I came home one night, my wife said to me, "You're going to quit your job and you're leaving. We're going to Florida." And I said, "No, I'm not." She says, "If you don't go to Florida, your son is going to be dead." So we moved here.
Joe, how can I...
My son has had really bad anger problems. He got to the point where he wouldn't let nobody push him no more.
Joe, let me stop for a second. Joe, how can I get a hold of your son?
My son won't come on the air.
Where does he live now?
He's here with us in Tampa.
Is he in the same house right now?
No, he's working. He has his own family. He's married. He doesn't want to rehash this.
All right, so what did he say when this story broke? Joe, when this story broke over the weekend and you heard it was Jovan Belcher from the Kansas City Chiefs.
I said it's just too late for that poor girl. He should have been dead 10 years ago.
Wow.
I have no pity for that guy. He's an animal. He destroyed my family for almost 10 years. My son became a maniac. If you would have touched him, he would have beat your brains in. All right, we just got him calm in the last 3 years. He's settled. He got a wife. He's got children. You know, he caused a lot of havoc in my family. I have no pity for him. I'd like to know where he's buried so I can go and pee on it.
Wow.
Wow!
This is unbelievable. I'm sitting here and I'm like, I cannot believe it. Wow.
I wanted to, that's all I wanted to hear was that line, because I knew it was coming up.
Wow. Oh my God. Like, I never felt sorry for this dude. I don't know if other people did feel sorry for him. I never felt sorry for him, but damn.
He shot the girl 9 times.
This man is really making some serious allegations, and I hope to God that these allegations, I hope that they,
I don't think the conviction in that man's voice. Now, look, if there's anything that I know about when I listen to somebody, there's about passion with what it is he's saying. He called in there. He threw himself out there. He didn't have to. He could have just left it alone. But this obviously affected him because it affected his son.
But you know what? This, as much as he says, the guy says, my son had problems. He says, well, how can I get such as your son? Like, I don't want to talk to you no more. I want to talk to your son. So, the guy knows that the kid doesn't want to come out. He's just gotten his life together. Is this
he doesn't want to rehash it, though.
But now they are going to find
him. I don't think so.
You think the media is going to be
No, they're not.
I don't think so. I don't think so either.
Go ahead, Edward. What'd you say?
I was going to say, I don't think so either.
I don't either. They don't listen to me. If one thing they don't want to do, they do not want to paint. They do not want to paint Belcher in this light, saying that he had unless they want to investigate whether or not he was a problem child from the get-go.
First down, New York Giants.
Oh, boy. unless the media wants to really investigate what kind of person Belcher is, because they've come up with every excuse already. NBC News did a report today that had nothing to do with the Belcher situation. They did a report on concussions, which is nothing more than setting the narrative for to say that, there are reports that Belcher had suffered from concussions, and that's why he was violent. They're trying to find a way to blame football for this.
And, of course, Reese, they don't want to touch the racial angle either. This guy was obviously... this guy, the guy who called into that radio show, is obviously a white gentleman, and the son is probably white, They're not going to touch the racial angle either.
Come on, it's Joe from West Babylon? For crying out loud, this is an Italian guy.
Or a Jewish guy.
Maybe even. But the bottom line is, they don't want any parts of that. Go ahead, Edward.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they don't want to, the first thing, they're going to, people are going to say, trying to make the guy look bad, by going into his background and bringing up the past that, he used to beat people in high school. They're going to say, he changed his life, he was an NFL football player, Come on, the guy was a scumbag, seems like, from the get-go.
Yeah, bottom line, he sounds exactly like a scumbag. Let's go to Sally D. in Massachusetts. What's up, Sally?
That was quite the call. That was pretty powerful stuff. And like you said, when you listen to this guy talking, that just reeks of reality, the fact is, it doesn't really, this guy, it doesn't matter why he did what he did. The reality is this girl's dead. He puts 9 bullets in her. Not someone who's in his right mind, whether he was in his right mind when he was 15 or now. But the thing that you see every day with these players, Junior Say, I was shooting himself in the chest. They want to throw everything into it's all about the concussions. Concussions have been happening for years in sports. Okay, every sport, hockey, you name it, and it's obviously a problem, and clearly the brain is affected. But the fact that you've had a few concussions does not make you a serial killer or a violent person by default. It's the NFL. I think it might have more to do with the fact that he's probably on some kind of performance enhancer, which obviously amps you up. So you take a guy who's got a personality problem to begin with. And we talked a little bit about this before. Chemical reaction in the brain just makes him that much more of a threat.
And also the fact is, here's something that I heard today. This was on Fox News today. I didn't know this. I found out later.
We also now know that Javon Belcher's mother was inside the house when he shot and killed his girlfriend, reportedly shooting her 9 times. The mother is the one that called 911. That call has not been released. Police say there is no history of domestic violence, but friends are now saying this was a rocky relationship.
So everybody knew who this guy was. It was a rocky relationship. He shot the girl 9 times in the presence of his mother and his 3-month-old child. We can either call that a maniac or somebody who's a bully and a criminal. It's got to be one or the other.
The other thing you see all the time, and it's not just NFL players, are these relationships, and it's always once the child's involved. There's a kid involved. Somebody threatened. I don't know if this is the storyline here. I have a sneaking suspicion it is. I haven't heard. Maybe you have. I don't know if she was trying to get away from him and was taking the child. But, you know, you see this story all the time where the man and the woman, the relationship ends. There's a child involved. Man can't accept the woman taking the kid, and he kills everybody. I mean, it's
way more common.
I want to go to
Dennis real quick, but let me say this. There were reports that said she came home from the R&B singer Trey Songz concert that night, walked in about 1 a.m. in the morning, and that's when the fight ensued. I do believe that there was rumblings as far as her family is concerned, as far as she's concerned, that she was planning on leaving Javon Belcher, but that's what caused him, I guess, to react in the way that he did. I believe that the only reason why he killed himself was because he knew he was going to end up on a run. He didn't want to end up putting himself, and this is wholeheartedly what I believe. He knew he was going to get arrested for the murder. He knew he was going to go through the trial. He knew that he was going to get life in prison, and he said to himself, he had made the decision. I killed her. I'm going to kill myself.
Right.
I think that's the bottom line. Dennis, what's up?
Well, when I first heard this, I thought of another tragedy to the altar of secularism, and I mean that sincerely, that football is our God and the altar is the gridiron, which is a tragedy in and of itself. Excuse me, but saying that, when they said concussion and that, I thought maybe the man had a brain tumor that hadn't been diagnosed. Why else would somebody do this? And I thought, well, you know, concussion and all that. Then I just heard your interview from Florida, and now it tells me that all those other thoughts are out the window, that this man was no good from the beginning. And there seems to be a culture of death in the NFL. You have this Michael Vick guy and every other lowlife, that if you can toss a ball and if you can run down a field, who cares about your background, who cares about your family life, who cares about your thug life? As long as you get the cheers of the crowd, you're in. And that's a sickness in this country, my friend.
It's an interesting perspective to look at, but you know what? I don't think that what happens with football players in the area of crime is any different than what we see as a regular society, because there are plenty of people who are not involved in sports who commit just as heinous crimes. If you heard, there's a couple now that's been arrested for setting their baby on fire. We've never had a case like that.
I'm saying it's a reflection of our own society is what I'm saying.
Oh, well,
I don't
true.
Think
I mean,
football is the reflection
they're
in the same proportion.
I don't think that football separates them from making stupid decisions as humans. You know, and I think
it's not the fault of the football. It's the fault of the people who idolize these people of flesh and blood as if they are God.
But Dennis,
they're
not
God. They're human beings, and they're fallible like you and I.
I don't think that's just a reflection of our society. I think it's a worldwide phenomenon. There was a few years ago where some guy who missed, I think, it was a soccer game, and he missed I think it's a catch or a goal or whatever you call it in soccer, and he went back to his home country, and they shot him, killed him in the streets.
Right.
I mean, another thing, too, is no one's talking about the poor child. Now, the child is without a mother and a father. If this was a normal situation, they would have been married. They wouldn't have been sleeping together and popping out children. Then you would have had a stable family. Isn't that child deserving a mother and a father?
You know what? Nothing. I'm going
to
let White Mike get in here right after I make this statement. You know, I always quote Rush Limbaugh, but Rush Limbaugh said that today. He said, I know I'm probably going to get some heat for this, but you know what? Is it a fair question to say, had Javon Belcher and Cassandra Perkins had gone about their lives the right way, got engaged, got married, and then had a child in wedlock instead of out of wedlock, if he had followed the, you know, proper moral teachings, would this have been a different situation altogether? Would he have respected the sanctity of marriage? Would she have respected the sanctity of a relationship? Would they have respected each other and loved each other and cared for each other if they had some sort of sense of moral values? And I knew he would get heat for it. I'm sure a lot of people tweeted about it after he said it. But, you know, I agree with you, Dennis, to some extent, because I just say personally was that, look, I don't think that this guy had any moral sense. And especially if you look at what this guy said on the Schnitz show, this guy Joe in Tampa was formerly from West Babylon. You know, he said it, as far as I'm concerned, as clear as day, when this kid was in high school, he was a piece of garbage.
Hey, Reese, yeah. I want to jump in real quick. I have to really disagree with what he said, because if you think about it, let's say a guy like Chris Benoit, I don't know if you remember him, JC probably does, a wrestler, you know, he killed his wife. He was married, you know, killed his wife, and I think he strangled his son.
Yes,
you know,
right.
So you can't say that marriage is going to be some type of, you know, a thing that's going to stop, you know, murder, suicide from happening. I think he's totally off base.
Well, yeah,
I'm not saying that would cure it. I'm saying that the likelihood is it shrinks the percentage.
Yeah, he's
that if you live a good more of a life,
because
this is a throwaway society is what I'm getting at.
That's what Rush was saying on the level of what was talking about. I mean, just morally, he was just saying that there's a higher success rate for people who have a moral understanding of what marriage is and the sanctity of marriage and, of course, the sanctity of life. Let's go to White Mike. Thanks for joining the show, big guy.
Oh, man, well, where to start? Well, you know, Dennis put out the word normal, but if you look at statistics, what they did, their situation was normal for Black Americans.
Unfortunately.
If 80% of Black people are born out of wedlock now or something like that, that's the normal.
Right.
I mean, by the very definition of the word normal, that's normal. But this
and
guy...
And 40% of the pregnancies in New York State end up in abortion. Again, the throwaway society.
If you want to talk to you... Know,
take care
about
of me
Chris
now and screw you later.
Edward talked about Chris Benoit. And Chris Benoit and this guy were very similar. They were both multiple concussion victims. They had their bell rung numerous times. I mean, Benoit's autopsy showed his brain was like a 70-year-old man. And this guy, this Kansas City guy, apparently was eating painkillers like crazy and had multiple concussions recently, was stacking his painkillers with alcohol. I mean, that's what Benoit did. You know, if you have somebody with brain damage...
Yeah, but wait a minute. Now, hold on.
Like
the
crazy,
Kansas City... Wait, guys. The Kansas City organization is refuting this allegation of concussions. They said on his injury reports... Over the last year, the most serious was a groin injury earlier in the year.
But his friends were saying that the guy had no memory of what happened after a game. You know, the injury report is not the be-all, end-all. You know, when you're a football player, you have to play, period. Those guys are made to get back in the game when they're injured. They don't always diagnose what happened to these guys. It's a brain injury thing. You know,
may I ask, I'm not a sports guy, but what about Mike Tyson? Isn't he another poster child for something that's dysfunctional and has some brain damage?
Mike Tyson
was a scumbag from day one.
Mike was damaged good to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Who knows how many concussions Tyson had? I mean, how many times did he get punched in the face?
Not too many, and not too often.
Wait, how many times did he punch old ladies in the face stealing their goddamn purses?
Well, yeah, he was a piece of shit.
From
there's no doubt he's a piece of shit. But... You know, I've said it before. I think the solution to the NFL is to take off the helmets. You take off the helmets, or you put them in helmets with no face masks, like they played with years ago, and you stop them from using their heads as a weapon. I think this case
I think
is
Mike's
going
got a
to,
great point.
this case is going to be very bad for the NFL. When you combine that with Jim McMahon coming out, beloved Jim McMahon saying he has pre-Alzheimer's in his 50s and has to carry
his address. What about the NHL?
So he won't
get
lost.
Will this bleed into it, do you think?
I don't know if the NHL has the amount of contact that football does. I mean, these linebackers,
when they fight on the ice.
Yeah, but that's not as common as what linebackers do. Linebackers
are hitting every play.
Hold
on for a second, Mike, because I have to refute that, because this is a report that came out. This is what I was talking about earlier with NBC today. This is a report. They refused to cover the Belcher case today, even with the controversy happening with Bob Costas. They didn't talk about it. They instead enlisted this person out of Boston. She's out of the Boston area, but I think that in a report they'd say what college or what university she's with. But listen to this story.
NBC's Rahima Ellis talked to the author of the study about what it means for millions of competitors in this country.
In the office of one of the top neurologists in the country, there is evidence of a passion.
I love football, and I love those guys that play it. There's tremendous areas of abnormality.
But this sports fan and mother has been on a serious mission. Dr. Ann McKee and her team have linked repeated head trauma, like those found on football fields and hockey rinks, to degenerative brain disease.
It gives us huge insight into how the disease starts in the brain, where it starts in the brain, and importantly, how it progresses through the brain.
Today, Dr. McKee released the world's largest study of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, a progressive brain disease caused by concussions. Of 68 donated brains, half of the cases of CTE involve professional football players. But these findings have implications beyond the golf. From Pop Warner football to girls soccer to high school hockey to the pros. When you walk in this room, it seems sort of clinical and impersonal, but it's not really that way to you, is it?
No, it's not. These aren't just frames to me. These are lives.
Each with a story to tell. Like Ron Perryman, a former linebacker for Boston College. Married and a father, he died recently at the age of 43 with symptoms that mirrored CTE. He donated his brain to Dr. McKee's research.
At the end of his life, there was nothing more important to him than to be able to find a way to let kids play football safely.
What has the NFL done to make the game safer?
We're doing a lot.
McKee's work has prompted important changes in NFL rules and food for thought in her own life.
Would you let your kids play?
It's a really tough question for me. I don't know.
So she's saying that she's actually seen it in hockey players as well. Now,
yeah.
I still don't agree with the study. Bottom line, I don't believe that it's causing these people to kill themselves. It may
Could
have
the exception
some...
that proved the rule was Muhammad Ali. Now, there's a guy who was brain damaged, but then he didn't go out and kill anybody.
Well, wait.
Well,
now,
how
I
many ones
that
I know?
Hold on. I can make the same argument. I can make the same argument for Muhammad Ali that I would on any other case. Because I would say Muhammad Ali, Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire, Richard Pryor, and Michael J. Fox. What do they suffer from? Parkinson's. Now, only one of those guys suffers from constant blows to the head.
No. Michael J. Fox was a hockey player.
What's that?
Michael J. Fox was a hockey player.
He was a hockey player, but wait a minute. Hold on. Truth be told, Muhammad Ali was the only one who suffered an extended amount of blows to the head. The other three guys were the only ones who extensively put blow in their nose.
Yeah, but Michael J. Fox took a lot of shots to the head being a hockey player.
And there's
a professional cyclist, a guy named Davis Finney, who was a gold medalist for the U.S. back in 84, I think. He has early onset Parkinson's, and he had multiple crashes on his bicycle where he got concussions.
So what's the solution?
NFL has to take the helmets off.
NFL has to take what?
Take the helmets off.
So the one point I wanted to make is that I really hope this doesn't turn into a concussion story with what this particular case and this particular guy did. Because agreed, there are devastating concussions that change people's lives, you know, and that may well trigger some of these people to be rageful and all of that. But at the end of the day, if that was the case, then, you know, 80% of the boxers out there would be murdering people. At the end of the day, it's about self-control. Someone who has a migraine 24/7, 7 days a week, doesn't get to kill somebody because they can't focus.
But Sal,
Sal,
here's where the issue is. What does the NFL or society want to do with this story? There's one of two things that they want to do. Okay? One, the most important of them all for them is to find a way for Jevon Belcher to not be responsible, not the NFL, most of society. They don't want him to be responsible for his actions. The media want to be able to say that this was football related and he's a victim in this. Therefore, they can absolve him of responsibility and say that it was a tragedy that could have been avoided had he not done this, done that, this hadn't happened to him, he wasn't a victim in this, blah, 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 blah. Right? They are trying to find it.
I don't even dispute that.
But the NFL...
Take it one step further. You got Bob Costas, now it's society's fault for having guns in the first place.
Oh, yeah, of course he believes it's the gun culture's fault, not Jevon... Because they're worried about it affecting the popularity of the game. The NFL doesn't.
I didn't hear him. I didn't see Bob Costas say that we should turn in our knives after OJ was in a jam when he worked with OJ.
Yeah.
Of course.
Hey, you know, getting back to what Mike said there, I was just reading as early back as August 5th, the New Zealand Rugby Union, the NZRU. So they're getting ready to do a study on 200 elite pro rugby players because of that massive suit that's going on in the United States with the 2,000 former NFL players filing suit against the NFL.
Well, remember one thing, folks. Rugby players don't wear helmets, to go to
right.
Mike's point.
Yeah.
Right, to go to Mike's
and
point. Right.
Rugby players don't bash each other's heads into each other for the most part. Because
this is
you
true.
Can't
and
play
rugby players, how many blacks play rugby?
yeah, I think they play in South
how many
Africa.
Blacks play rugby?
A lot of blacks play.
Yeah, that's right.
Play.
In South Africa they do it. Absolutely right, Mike.
American blacks.
A lot more than you think.
Don't you guys steal a ball in rugby?
Where I'm getting at, I wonder if it's a culture of violence where they come out of the hood and they extrapolate this into the game.
Well, why don't they do it in chess and spelling bee?
I don't know. We will see.
Oh, the violence at a spelling bee.
What's
I can
that?
See it now.
Well, we'll see what comes of this in the coming days. The autopsy is going to come out a couple of weeks from now. I'm pretty sure there's no... I mean, what... What are we going to find out about this kid? They're not going to find out that there was a concussion. They're just going to find out that he was a scumbag. I'm putting him
well,
on.
Well, I bet he shot himself in the head, so.
Oh, he did. Of course he did. Of
course. Yeah, there's going to be no brain left.
Of course he did. It's not going to be exactly. No brain to test. I don't think was a brain to test from the get-go, according to what Joe in Tampa Bay said on the Schnitz show.
Freeze.
Yeah.
Are you going to stay with this topic, or are you going to bring up something else?
Because
no, I have something else for you.
No, because listen.
Hey, how many Giants fans are in the house?
Mary is making sure that I make the show early today so she can finish
no,
watching.
No, I'm not making sure that you make the show early. He did that out of the kindness of his own heart so that I would not miss this divisional game that's on right now.
It's very
now.
Important
it's
to her.
You got a Giant coming on tomorrow. Can't you wait?
What?
You got a Giant coming on the show tomorrow. Isn't that good enough?
You mean the guy that left his...
No,
on Thursday.
You mean the guy that left his
that's
pregnant wife for a 21-year-old blonde?
I'm a true football fan.
What did you say, Mike?
Isn't Tiki the guy who left his pregnant wife for a 21-year-old Becky?
Oh, my God. Mike, enough with that. Enough with that.
How about
okay?
That sanctity of marriage?
No bad-mouthing the Giants here. No,
he left, he left his pregnant
out,
wife,
though,
dude.
I do want to find out if he feels like Duke.
He left his
okay,
I
had
some
important
news for
Reese. That's
not
what we're here to talk about. I'm here to talk about
Mike's
the
breaking
like
story,
words,
Reese. I don't know if you're aware of
it.
Mike says like there's something wrong with it.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, but there's no sanctity of marriage there, apparently.
If your wife looks like Petraeus' wife, you know, come on.
Yeah, but his wife was kind of a hot Korean, I think.
Oh, I'm not sure. If she was, yeah, then...
A question from me for him would be, do you feel like you duped yourself when you retired the year before they went to win the Super Bowl? Do you regret that? Do you regret not having stayed on for one more year? You would have had a ring.
Reese, there's a breaking story I don't know if you're aware of coming out of the hill. The House leadership have frozen out any Tea Party conservatives from any of the leadership.
Who's
you talking about? Cantor, Burner, and the House Whip completely purged all conservatives from every extant House committee.
Well, I'm actually going to be on that story tomorrow. But I promised my wife that I would let her watch her game in peace without missing it. I promise you guys, we'll be back on so much. Oh, man. I got so much more news, so much more views to bring up tomorrow, but we are going to end tonight early so that we can watch the game, guys. Enjoy the game. We will be back tomorrow. I promise you. Same bad time,
check
same
your Facebook
bad channel. Thank you, guys.
Playoffs! Don't talk about the playoffs!
We'll be discussing tomorrow.
Hey, check your inbox. Yeah, Facebook inbox.
Okay.
Hey, no Facebook inbox. Giants game right now. Ain't nothing but the E and D. Follow me into the sun.